Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, this morning. We give you all the praise and glory. Somebody say it, amen. The Lord is good, amen. Thank you, Lord, for the plans and your purposes in our lives. We give you, Lord, praise for that. We know your thoughts for us are for good and not for evil. And Lord, we ask, as always, the entrance of your word to bring light to our hearts this morning. And may the Lord be glorified in the message of the Lord. And we give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Somebody said amen. Amen. Let me try to go through this very quickly. At the start of the year like this, you know, people love to hear uplifting messages and so forth. So I also try, you know, when I'm preaching, at least the first couple of times, you know, to try to, tell people, you know, something that can really, they can hold on and help them throughout the year. Amen. I mean, not that other times of the year we don't do that, but, you know, especially because people are looking for something, you know, good, you know, to hear, you know, so we try to give, seek the Lord and see what the Lord will say to make sure that people do have something that will give them that impetus, you know, for a kickstart into the year. Amen. So, this morning, run your own race tactfully and with confidence. Amen. So, let me explain that. This is the message that I want to run with this morning. You know, so you need to run your own race tactfully and with confidence. Now, life is not a sprint. You know, as a young man, you know, I used to do track and field. And I did the sprints. I hated the long distance races, you know, and sometimes, you know, I was forced to do a marathon, you know, just as part of training, but I hated it. Well, life is not a sprint, folks. It's more like a marathon, but even it's like a steeplechase. It's got obstacles along the way. It's a very long journey. And there are many kinds of obstacles. Sometimes it goes a little fast, sometimes a little slower, sometimes you have to jump over stuff, and so on and so forth. Amen. But if you ever watch any of those races, you cannot let the person that is in front of you define your own race. You've got to run your own race. I've seen some really skilled and tactful, runners who got off their game because, you know, they let somebody that was in front of them dictate their own race. And they got off their game. You need to stay with your game. Amen. You know, some people have a game plan. You know, let's say it's a race that's about, let's just say it's a 10,000 meter race. So maybe they go around the field maybe 6 or 7 times or whatever, you know. And, you know, some people will jump up, you know. I mean, they will run the first race as if it's the first lap as if it's a race. I mean, it's as if it's a sprint. And then they run out of steam. Well, it's not he that starts, but he that endures unto the end. Amen. Well, and not only enduring to the end, you got to run according to the rules. Praise the Lord. If they have rules, I know in some of those long races, you know, they're just all over the place. But some of those that are run, you know, within the tracks, they may say, well, during the first lap, you have to keep to your own length. Then after the first lap, you can break to another lane and so on. And there are so many rules. And if you don't keep the rules, even if you come first, you might be disqualified. You know, there was one time Jesus said, you know, bring all of them in and so forth. And then they brought them in. And then there was somebody that still was not according to the rules. He said, friend, what doest thou here without your wedding garment? Amen. Even though he said, go and bring all of them in. He brought all of them in. And this one came there. And he still did not have a wedding garment. And he said, get him out of there. You know, and appoint his portion with the hypocrites that shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know, so you got to run according to the rules. Praise the Lord. But today, I want to focus more on the purpose of God for your individual life. And his counsel for your individual life shall be fulfilled. Amen. No matter what it looks like, no matter what other people are doing and so forth, it's like your own fingerprint. Everybody's story is different. They may be similar, but it's different. Praise the Lord. And only the mind of God can compute, you know, all the billions of people upon the face of the earth going and coming throughout all the generations. Only the mind of God can compute that to come out with, you know, a separate and distinct fingerprint for each person. Only the mind of God can do that. You know, they don't even have any computers that I believe can do that. Now, so just like your fingerprint is unique, so is your story and so is your race. Amen. Don't define yourself by other people. You know, some people always, you know, you've heard this saying, I be like the Joneses or whatever. I don't even know what that means. You know, you can't be like anybody else. Hallelujah. Got to run your own race. Now, let me read some scriptures here before I get too far ahead of myself. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, then I'm going to bring what I mean about being tactful and then with confidence. You know, so here's what it means about being tactful. You know, this is what Paul said, starting from verse 25 of 1 Corinthians 9. And every man that striveth for masteries, that's, you know, if you're an athlete, that's what it means to strive for masteries. If you're an athlete, you know, you have to really tune your body, train yourself, and be temperate in all things. Now, those athletes, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. You know, whatever gold prize, silver, you know, or bronze or whatever they get is perishable. But we are doing it for an incorruptible crown. Amen. So this race that you are running, well, not just the physical part and the natural part, but even this more so, your spiritual race. Your spiritual race that you are running. You know, there is a purpose for which God put all of us, each one of us here on this. He didn't just send us here just to be here. And so a lot of people wander through their lifetime. They don't even can't find the purpose of God for themselves. Well, you know, that should not be the case for anybody that's a child of God. Amen. And most times when people are lost, you know, then, you know, if they turn over their lives to the Lord, God will begin to bring them to the knowledge of his will. The knowledge of his will, you know, so that you can understand what God has for you. But here's what Paul said. He said, I therefore so run, verse 26, you know, he's going to run tactfully. I run not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one. It's not just shadow boxing, folks. Just shadow boxing, feeling the air and so forth. No, I fight tactfully. I know what I'm going after. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm not as one that's just beating the air. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just doing all kinds of things. No, he's running. That's why at the end he could say, look, I have run my race. I have kept the faith. Amen. And I have finished my course. And henceforth is laid up for me a crown of victory and a crown of life. But not only for me, but for all those who follow the same pattern. If you run your own race, you know, be tactful. I'm going to say a few things on how to be tactful. And then I'm going to say a few things on how to be confident. I'm going to dwell more on how to be confident in your race. Now, but being tactful means, you know, there is a plan. You know, if you don't have a plan, you know, first of all, if you don't know where you're going, well, you're never going to know if you get there. Is that true? If you don't know where you're going, then how will you know when you've got there? Because you don't even know where you're going. You know, so anybody, if you have a plan, if you're going somewhere, then, you know, chances are that you figure out how to plot a course on how to get there. But if you don't even know where you're going, then, you know, you got a problem to start with. So first of all, we need to know where we're going. Amen. This is a spiritual message plus also even a physical message, you know. Even in what you are doing physically, whatever you're doing in your life, there needs to be a purpose. We can't just be doing something anyhow. We can't just be doing uncertainly, you know, just beating the air. You got to have a purpose. Children and youngsters, if you're going to school, don't just be there just taking every class in the world and you have no purpose, you know. I've known people that have taken a bunch of classes. You know, at the end, they had 120 credits, and they still did not have the requirements for their degree. Because they were just taking a bunch of classes all over the place. You know, that's not how it works. You need to get advisement. You need to sit down with your counselor. You need to have a plan. Hallelujah. A plan of graduation. You know, you need to have a purpose. You need to have a program of study. You know, and you follow that program. You can't just take any classes all over the place, all over, you know. And then at the end you say, well, I got 120 credits. That's all I need. They said, no, you didn't have credits in this area. Neither did you have in this area. Neither did you meet these requirements or classes in your major and so forth. You know, so there's got to be a plan. Hallelujah. And you must execute the plan. You know, don't just be all over the place. So that's in the physical. The same thing if you're in business. Whatever it is you are in, it has to be a plan. Have you ever imagined people who start out business with no plan? Where is that going to be? Even Jesus himself said it. He said, look, you know, if you don't count the cost and you don't have a plan, less happily when he has started, he has not the funds to finish it. And then people begin to mock him and say, this man started to build a house, but he couldn't finish it because he didn't have a plan. And then people make fun of him. Praise the Lord. And Jesus didn't have pleasure in anyone that puts his hand on the plow and then looks back. Say, he whosoever puts his hand on the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. And that's in anything, folks. Don't be a quitter. Hallelujah. The only thing you should quit is the old sin life. Get rid of that one and follow Jesus. Amen. But when you set your eyes on something, you know, let your eyes be on the finish line. Amen. Praise the Lord. Jesus, he set his eyes on that finish line. And he said, look, he would not be distracted. You know, one time Peter tried to distract him and said, oh, master, be far from you. You're not going to the cross. And Jesus looked at him and said, Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Amen. Because that was the devil speaking through him right there. You know, so, you know, sometimes the devil will come in all kinds of ways. I even come through somebody close to you, try to distract you from God's purpose in your life. You have to have that discerning within you. Amen. Now, so you got to be tactful. But I want to spend most of this time talking about running your race with confidence, knowing that what God has planned out for you will come to pass nonetheless. Amen. You know, there is a role, as we heard during the review, there's a role that we must play. You know, everything that God does is a two-way contrast. Say, the Bible says, look, the foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knows them that are his. But let them that name the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. So there's a two-way contract. God knows what he's doing, but you must also know what you are doing in the Lord. Amen. Now, so the part that you have to play is to recognize that God's thoughts towards you are for good, for peace, and not for evil. Amen. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. I know the thoughts that I have towards you, saith the Lord. Amen. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And that's the part I want to talk about. You know, everybody quotes this scripture, but sometimes we don't go all the way. To give you an expected end. There is an expected end, folks. Amen. Isaiah 46 and verse 10. The Lord knows that end from the beginning. There is an expected end. That's where you are going. You know. So that you know, we don't want you to wander all over the place. There is an expected end. And you need to stay with the Lord and he'll get you there. Amen. Now, it doesn't matter how things look like right now. And there are some stories I will share with you quickly if time permits. Now, but let me read some scriptures. I always like to give you scriptures. You write them down. You can check them again so that your confidence is not in how well I can preach or whatever, but it's in the scriptures. Isaiah chapter 14. Let me read for you a couple of verses just talking about the purpose of God in your life. Well, you know, this one may not strictly say in your life, but you can apply it to your life as well. Isaiah chapter 14. Let me read from verses 24 to about 27. Thus said the Lord of hosts, Isaiah 14 and 24, surely as I have thought, amen, so shall it come to pass. And as I have proposed, so shall it also stand, amen. So if you have that confidence, this is how you run your race with confidence. Look, God has already thought thoughts of peace towards me. He's going to give me an expected end. As he has proposed, so it shall come to pass. As he has determined, so it shall be. You have that confidence to run your race. Hallelujah. And he says, this is the purpose that is proposed upon all. You see, the whole earth in verse 26. You know, he has different things and how he's going to bring it to pass and so forth. Now, you know, he's going to bring it to pass even in your life. In verse 27, said, the Lord hath purposed. And this is the thing. If you don't remember anything else today, I want you to remember this. You know, when the Lord has purposed something, who else can disannul it? When God has purposed something, who can disannul it? You know, and if God has not said something, who can say so? There's actually a scripture for that, right? In Lamentations 3 and verse 37. Can you put that up for me real quickly? Lamentations 3 and 37. You know, he said, look, when God has not said something, you know, who is it? Let me just read it to you. Who is it that saith and it comes to pass when the Lord has not commanded it? You know, so it can, you know, except the Lord commands it, you know, I mean, you might be running untactfully because you are just guessing, you know, but if the Lord has commanded it, then it will come to pass. If the Lord has purposed it, then it shall come to pass. Praise the Lord. And you can look at it also for your own protection. You know, nobody can say anything contrary against your life. Amen. When the Lord has not said it, they can say it, but it means nothing. It shall not stand. Hallelujah. Amen. It shall not stand. Praise the Lord. Now, Isaiah chapter 46, moving right along. Isaiah 46, let me read from verses 9 through about 11. Isaiah 46, I just want to bring some scriptures out about how his purposes are established and they cannot be disannulled. Amen. Hallelujah. Isaiah 46 and verse 9. Remember the former things of old. You know, he says, I am the Lord, there is none else. I am God, there is none like me. He likes to put it out there so there is no argument. Amen. You know, declaring the end from the beginning, which is what I told you a few minutes ago, you know. And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, even from big long time, he has already declared things about you. Hallelujah. Saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure, saith the Lord. Now, so when you are running with God, lockstep with the Lord, you can run with confidence. Amen. You don't have to run as if, well, I don't really know. You know, no. You know, you may not know, but the Lord knows. And you just hold on to his hand and you'll be all right. Amen. Praise the Lord. Psalms 33. Let me go through this very quickly. I hope you are taking note of this and writing them down. Psalm 33, verse 11. I want to show you the places where God gives you confidence, you know, in his word by giving you assurance that he already knows things relating to your life and that it will stand. His counsel in your life. Psalms 33 and verse 11. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of his heart to all generations. Amen. Now, God doesn't flip-flop. God doesn't do yo-yo stuff. One day he thinks this way, another way he thinks that way. No, it's not a man that he should do that. You know, he said it and it will stand. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, look at this also. Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, chapter 19 and verse 21. Let me get that real quickly. Proverbs 19, 21. If they put it up for me quicker, then I can read up on the screen. Okay. Now, there are many devices in a man's heart. You can plan this way and plan the other way, you know. Hallelujah. Even Proverbs 16, I believe the last verse, 33 or so, he said, look, the lot is cast into the laps, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. You know, so there are many, see, the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. Now, but let's go back to Proverbs 19 and 21. That says, look, you can, you know, there are some things you do, but God's already determined how they are going to come out. That's what this is saying. There are many devices in your heart, but the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. You know, now, if you want to run a confident race, then, you know, don't trust your heart because the heart is wicked, desperately wicked and deceitful. Some people say, follow your heart. No, I say, don't follow your heart. Follow the word of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Because there are many devices in your heart, but don't worry about what your heart says. Follow what the word of God says. Praise the Lord. And you will come out all right. Because sometimes your heart will fail, you know, because you see a lot of things and so forth. Like, just follow the word of God. You know, when Jesus said, come on. Come on, you know, and Peter stepped out of the boat and he was doing it and so forth like that. You know, at first he was following the word that Jesus said, come on, Peter, you know, And then he took his eyes off the Lord and began to see that the waves were boisterous. And the waves were always boisterous. But as long as he kept his eyes on the Lord and followed that word that beckoned him, he was all right. But when he began to follow his eyes, he said, I can't walk on water. And blub, 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 blub. Then he started to, you know, gobble up the water and started to sing. You know, you can walk on water if the Lord says, come. Amen. Amen. And the Lord said, come. You know, so, you know, don't follow your heart. Just follow the word of God. Amen. Now, let's read this quickly. And I'm going to, there's some other things I want to say. In the same Psalms, you know, that I read before. Okay, let me just keep that one. I already read it. Isaiah 44. Let me read Isaiah 44. Isaiah 44, I'm going to read from verse 24. I love this one. Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb. Amen? I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone. He didn't need any help. He didn't need any help then, and he doesn't need your help now. Amen. He stretched forth the heavens alone, and I spread abroad the earth by myself. You know, and who is strong enough to be the Lord's counselor? Nobody. Now, but listen to this. That frustrateth the tokens of the liars. Amen. And maketh diviners mad. You know, God will frustrate every token of lies that try to frustrate the purpose of God in your life. In turn, God will frustrate them in Jesus' name. The purpose of God for your life shall stand. Diviners cannot divine your life. Unless you submit yourselves to them. Now, the Bible says, as the wind bloweth and goes wherever it leads, and listed, you know, nobody knows where the wind is going until it's already gone. You know, that's how everyone that's born of the Spirit of God, that's it is. You know, as the wind bloweth, no man knows. See, no man knows the way that God will take you. You know, but if you submit yourself to a soothsayer, then they are going to bring their enchantments upon you. But no soothsayer, you know, I've always said, soothsayer, you cannot divine my mind or my life. Hallelujah. Because I have not submitted to it. One day I went somewhere in a bank one day in Nigeria, one of those visits, and I was a soothsayer lady come up to me and decided to say something. I said, no, I reject it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, you can't, my life is hid with Christ in God. You can't do it, you know. You don't know where I'm going. You don't know where I'm coming from. Hallelujah. Get thee behind me, Satan. Amen. Now move on. I'm not even going to waste my time with that nonsense. Praise the Lord. The Lord is the one that frustrates the tokens of liars and make diviners mad. Make them mad. Turn away, you know, wise men backwards and make their knowledge to be foolish. You know, especially their knowledge that is not according to God's knowledge and plan for your life. That confirmeth, though, the word of his servant. Amen. Yeah, that's right. You know, God can send godly men of God, and he will, you know, they can tell you something, but don't chase after that. Forget that. You know, the word of God's right here. Amen. Praise God. When people are chasing stuff, then all kinds of other stuff will come their way. You know, the Lord confirmeth the word of his servant, performeth the counsel of his messengers. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, but one more thing I want to say. I was going to skip it, but let's say go read it anyway. Psalm 33, verse 10. So let me read it anyway. Because you want to see how God will frustrate. It goes in line with this one. You know, it said, the Lord bringeth the counsel of the hidden to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. Amen. You know. Somebody said to me just yesterday that somebody was doing something and so forth. You know, I'm like, come on. Praise the Lord. The Lord maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the hidden to naught. Don't even worry about that. You just worry about staying in the light. Amen. Praise the Lord. Darkness cannot comprehend the light. It's not even possible. Amen. So, you know, let them do whatever they want. That's not your problem. Amen. Now, the things that God will do for you, though, it's according to his mercies. You know, there's a wonderful story in the Bible, many wonderful stories. Let me go through some of them real quickly. In the book of Romans chapter 9, the Lord, you know, brought this principle out, verses 9 through about 16, and I don't have time to read it all. But the Lord brought this principle out. He said, the word of promise, he said to Sarah, you have a son and so forth. And all that went through and all that and so on. Look, and he brought something out. He brought something very special out, you know. At the time, you know, at the time of the birth of Esau and Jacob, you know, the Lord had a plan, you know, but he brought it out in this place. And he said, look, none of these two had done any good or evil, but that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, it was said that the elder will serve the younger. God said that. That's done. End of story. You can't fight it. Praise the Lord. The purpose of God according to election so that it might stand. So this is a beautiful story. But it's not of him that willeth. So you can go down and read verses 15 and 16. It's not of him that willeth. It's not of him that runneth. But it's of what? It's of the Lord that showeth mercy. And when the Lord has picked you, if you are a vessel of mercy, folks, then you can run your race with confidence. You know that the Lord, he's got you. Amen. Praise the Lord. A few stories in the Bible, you know, just to round up this thing for us. There are a few stories in the Bible. Now, no matter what the enemy is trying to do to the purpose of God in your life, he cannot quench it. By everything will only move you closer. When Moses was born, the enemy wanted to destroy his life. I don't have time to read the scripture. I'm going to just paraphrase this story. And so they made a commandment to kill all the little boys because they don't want the children of Israel to expand. Kill the boys. Leave all the girls alone. Just kill all the boys. Well, Moses was one of those that could have been killed. But there was a purpose that God had for him in his life. And despite the commandment of the king at that time to kill everybody, God preserved Moses' life. Amen. Until he had done all the things. Hallelujah. So that's his story. God preserved his life regardless of the plans of the enemy to take him out. You know. Now, the enemy, John chapter 10 verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to do what? For to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Now, that devil's, that's his role. So don't worry about the devil. He's got to do his thing. He can do his thing, but Jesus is doing his thing. Amen. Jesus' thing is that you might have life and that you can have it more abundantly. Not just barely enough, not just survive, but thrive in Jesus' name. Not just enough, but running over. Hallelujah. Abundantly. That's what Jesus gives. Now, let the devil try anything he wants. It doesn't matter. Now, the more the devil tries to steal your joy, to kill your dreams, and to destroy your life, the closer he will actually bring you to God's purpose in your life. Amen. Now, that's if you are walking in the light, though. You got to be in the light. You know, I can't say enough about that. Now, the story of Joseph, about many chapters from Genesis 37, except for one chapter in there, then the rest of it all through the end of Genesis, the story of Joseph. So I will just paraphrase it. And you know this story. Joseph was gifted with dreams and various things. And he told his dreams to his brothers and even, you know, his dad. And the brothers, they envied him because he said, look, it looked like the way he was saying his dreams, he didn't interpret the dreams, he just told the dreams. But the way the dream sounded, it was like, do you mean we are going to bow down to you? You know. So that's how the dreams went. So one day they had a chance to get rid of him, to bump him off. You know, and they said, well, let's get rid of him and we'll see what will become of his dreams. Here come that dream out dreams. You know, so, and you know the story. Well, one of his brothers, you know, kind of said, well, don't let's kill him. Let's just do this and that. So when they did this and that, he ended up in slavery. Now, when the story opened up about Joseph, he was 17. But the Bible says when he stood before Pharaoh, after he came out of prison, he was 30. So there might have been, I don't know how long it was before he went to see his brothers and then they cast him into the pit, but I don't think it was too much after when he was 17. So there might have been 13 years of his life, you know, gone there. And it looked like, you know, the purpose of God, the dreams would never come to pass. And the devil always told him, where are all those your dreams now? Look at you. You ended up in slavery. You ended up in the slammer. You ended up over here. Everything you do. But everything that contrary that was happening to him was moving him closer. Hallelujah. And he might not be able to stand before Pharaoh if he hadn't been put in the slammer for something that he didn't even do. You know, Potiphar's wife, sleep with me, sleep with me. He wouldn't do it. He said, I fear God. Hallelujah. And he would never do it, even though there was nobody. If his father was not around, he could have said, well, nobody can know what I'm doing. No, he said, I fear God. And he didn't do it. Well, she lied against him anyway, got him into the slammer. And the favor of God followed him all the way. Amen. Even when he was in the slammer, he became the head of the prisoners. Praise the Lord. And one day, he looked upon the butler, of Pharaoh, you know, and his, the other guy, whatever they were. Two of them came in there and said, why look you so sadly today? Said, we've dreamed a dream and so forth. Then he interpreted their dream. This way, one of them will be restored. The other one will be destroyed, you know, and it was so. And he said, but remember me. But he did not, you know, the chief baker, the butler, you know. So when the butler was restored, he didn't remember him until, you know, God troubled Pharaoh one night in order that God might bring to pass what he had already said concerning Joseph. God troubled Pharaoh. God didn't have to show Pharaoh the dream. Who was Pharaoh? Pharaoh wasn't even somebody that knew the Lord. He could have showed it to somebody else. But Pharaoh had the power to do some things, you know. And God was going to use that power to bring his purpose to pass in the life of Joseph. And so Pharaoh dreamed a dream in one night, was confused. And he couldn't figure it out. And he called for everybody, nobody. And then this man remembered, oh, my fault be with me today. There was a young man in prison. And so forth. He interpreted our dreams like that. He brought us forth. He said, who is that man? Go call him. And so he came. They shaved him real quick. He brought him to Pharaoh. And then he stood before Pharaoh. Pharaoh said, I've heard that you can discern dreams. He said, well, these things belong to God, but God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Amen. He was confident, you know. And so he told him the dream and said, well, God doubled the dream to Pharaoh twice because this thing will be fulfilled. And this is the dream, and this is the interpretation. And he put it right, slam, right there. He didn't mince words about it. And he said, let Pharaoh, you see, not only did he have the word of knowledge, he brought also the word of wisdom. Let Pharaoh have like this, and let Pharaoh do like this. The 7 years of plenty, let Pharaoh appoint an officer and do this, and keep store until the years that the famine will come. And then Pharaoh looked around and said, well, where can we find a man that he has so much wisdom in whom the spirit of the gods is, like you? And he said, this day, hallelujah, I am Pharaoh. And you are just, and he gave him another name. He said, nobody will lift a finger in Egypt. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, somebody. Bring my chariot. Put him on top. And proclaim all over the place, I am Pharaoh. When one day he went from the slammer, the same day he was vice president of the land. Hallelujah. As a matter of fact, he was more than vice president. He was kind of like CEO. I mean, there was nothing that happened that he didn't say. Praise the Lord. You've read the story of Esther. You know, I don't have time to go into it because my time is up. Esther was in slavery, but she rose in one day to be on top. Daniel, all these people, they were in slavery. They rose to be on top. It didn't matter. The most significant of these stories was the one of Joseph. That's why I took a little time. Because people plotted against him. People wanted to destroy him, you know. And at the end of the days, those who said, shall we indeed bow down before you? Yes. Hallelujah. Yes, they indeed bowed down. They kissed the dust in front of him. Praise the Lord. But look at Joseph. He was magnanimous. Hallelujah. He was magnanimous. He forgave them. He could have destroyed all of them. But he forgave them and said, you meant it for a harm, but God sent me ahead of you to protect and preserve your life and posterity. Amen. Now, the summary of this message is that the purpose of God for your life shall be fulfilled. And no matter what you are going through right now, you know, he said, what shall separate us from the love of Christ in Romans chapter 8? Shall tribulation, shall peril, shall destruction, you know, shall death, shall life, shall any of these things, things to come, I mean, things that are present, things that are even to come, they cannot separate you from the purpose of God for your life. Amen. But your purpose of God for your life shall be fulfilled. Now, let me give you a scripture in closing. I love this scripture. And remember also the reason why, two scriptures. Remember the reason why the purpose of God will be fulfilled in your life is because in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 5, we are told that God had foreknown us even before the world began. And God had written some things about you in his book. Say, blessed be the God our Father, bless us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly place in Christ Jesus. Verse 4, he said, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. God already chose you. And God already has certain things that he ordained concerning you. Amen. So whatever is happening now should not rattle you. Run your race tactfully and with confidence in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, let me close with this promise for you. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 12, I love these promises. Ezekiel chapter 12, and I'm just going to read, you know, a couple of verses there from perhaps about verse 25 or so. Amen. Praise the Lord. Ezekiel 12 and verse 25. Let's stand to our feet. I'm going to close with this. I'll read from 25 to 28. For I am the Lord. I will speak. And the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. Well, let me put it this way. The Lord has spoken. Given us multiple promises. That word shall come to pass. It shall no more be prolonged. Amen. My God wasn't too happy with the children of Israel. That's why he called them rebellious house. But you are not a rebellious house. Amen. Inasmuch as you follow and cleave unto the Lord your God, it shall not be said of you that you are a rebellious house in Jesus' name. Amen. But the word that I shall speak, you know, he said, look, I will say the word and I will also perform it. Amen. Now listen to this, verse 27. Son of man, say unto the house of Israel, and like, look, say unto this GMI church family today that, you know, the vision that you see, you know, that you say, oh, it's for many days to come and so forth like that, you know, and it's afar off and all that, you know, and we've been waiting for it. Well, here's what the Lord has to say. Say unto them this morning, amen. Thus saith the Lord God, there shall none of my words be prolonged anymore. But the word which I have spoken, not the word I shall speak this time, the word he has already spoken concerning you, it shall be done, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's put our hands together for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now raise your hands and I'm going to pray where you are. I'm not going to call a prayer line this morning because our time is out. But I want you to pray. Lift your hands up, everybody. I want you to pray with me. What I want you to get out of this message are two things. There are some things, God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And the race that you are running is distinct from anybody else's race. And don't compare yourself. Bible says by comparing yourself to one another, you're unwise. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about how somebody else is doing. You just do your own thing. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And whatever God has called you also to do in the ministry, don't worry about somebody else. One time Jesus said to Peter, you know, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed this and feed that. And he got distressed. And then Peter started asking, what about John? Jesus said, that's none of your business. Amen. You focus on what I want for you to do. Never mind somebody else. You know, some people are always saying, well, other people are not coming to prayer meeting. Other people are not coming to evangelism. Don't worry about that. You do your own thing. Amen. Praise the Lord. God has called you. And God has a purpose for you. And each person's signature, that, you know, which is in their fingerprint, is different. And God knows it all. Hallelujah. Now, here's what I want you to do. remember that God has a plan for your life. It's unique, and you're following that plan. And he's directing that plan. And all the peeping and muttering spirits and so forth that are trying to frustrate that plan, God will frustrate them. Amen. The plan of God will come to pass in your life. Therefore, be confident as you run your race. You know, also, hear from God. I don't have time to go into that, but you must hear from God so that you will not be fighting and beating the bush. This is the summary of today's message. Now let us pray. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray and commit our lives before you today. We thank you because our lives are hid with Christ in God. Hallelujah. And no one can say anything and it will come to pass concerning our lives when God has not commanded it. And the only thing that God has commanded for us is for peace and for good, to give us an expected end. Amen. Therefore, Lord, let peace and good pursue your people and overtake them every day of their lives. Surely, you know, we say this thing every day. Surely goodness and mercy. Yeah, goodness and mercy will overtake you. Amen. It will follow you. Goodness will be your portion. Mercy will be your portion. In as much as you, not only yours, but for all your love, those of you who are parents and grandparents, this blessing is for you. For this promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. This promise is for you and for your children, because the Lord has decided to put his blessing upon you. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Father, Lord, may you give your people true understanding concerning this, so that throughout this year and for the rest of the days, you know, we will have confidence knowing that you have charted a course for us and we are following. We're not following somebody else's race. We're not running somebody else's race. We are running our own race with the Lord. And the Lord, he will see us through. And at the end, you know, even in the things of the ministry, do your own thing as God has called it to you. And at the end, you will receive a crown of life in the name of Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you.